like to join in with Brother Spicer and thank the Lord for the privilege that he's granted us to be here again in his house this evening. And I hope and pray that we will set our faces to seek the Lord and be willing tonight to be obedient to what the Lord would have us to do. There's a promise of great blessing in obeying the Lord. There's a promise of cursing in failing to obey the Lord. And I hope and pray that everyone that's here tonight, whatever the Lord would have you to do, will be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. I have truly enjoyed our services, and I want to let that be known again this evening. I feasted on every one of Brother Spicer's sermons, and go ahead. Bless you, Sister Gentry. Somebody else. But I do again want to tell Brother Spicer I have truly enjoyed his preaching and the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart to bring before you this evening. They're nothing new, but we're not preaching a new message, are we? I mean, we're preaching a message that has been preached for many, many years now, and it's been tried and found true, and I thank God for His Word. I have some scripture that I'd like to read from the third proverb, if you would care to read along with me. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse of Proverb 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And I want to stop reading there with those first seven verses of the third proverb. I want to use these words tonight for a title for the message, and that being, it all comes down to this. And you may have heard that cliche at different times in your life under different situations. Sometimes there may be several things talked about, and then somebody would say, well, this is the bottom line. Or someone in trying to sum up something, they might say, well, listen, it all comes down to this. And I don't know how you feel or what your observations may be, but I believe that to me it seems like that has been the theme that the Lord has used in directing this meeting, the things that have been preached the things that have been spoken about in testimony, that it does all come down to one point. And for those of you that are here tonight that are lost and in your sins, Jesus made it very plain, and we find it recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus made it very plain what it all comes down to. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And that's the only way that you're ever going to be at peace with God. That's the only way that you're ever going to be justified in the sight of God, is that you must be born again. And so in this proverb here, I want to, there are three things that we find in these verses that I want to talk about. And certainly one of them is trust. And that primarily will probably be the thing that I want to stress tonight. I believe that self-denial is included in it, and the acknowledgement of God. There are so many people in the world today that are in so much trouble, their lives are in so much turmoil, because they have failed in their life to take the simple instruction that Solomon gave in this proverb and in all their ways acknowledge the Lord. I'll tell you that people, whenever we try to do things our way, we're going to make a mess and we're going to end up at the wrong place. And when we try to do things our way, the worst consequence, I suppose, is that we're not going to end up where the Lord would have us to be. And so it's very important that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. It's very important that we deny ourselves, that we don't lean to our own understanding. And it's very important that in all of our ways that we acknowledge the Lord. There have been many things said this week, and I hope and pray that they've been properly understood. But I know that it all comes down to this, that whatever that it might be that you need the Lord to help you with, you're never going to receive it without trusting Him with all of your heart, whatever that it is. If you're here tonight and you have been saved by the grace of God, perhaps you're saved and also a member of the Lord's church. If there's something in your life that you need direction with, if there's something that's troubling you and you don't know which way to turn, you don't know which way to go, and you want to seek counsel from the Lord that He might show you the proper way that He would have you to go, you're never going to find the right path unless you go to Him and trust Him with all of your heart to show you the direction that He would have you to go. And I'm afraid that we all, as human beings, we are far too prone to try to figure things out in our mind. We're far too prone to try to figure out what we can do about the situation, when it all boils down to the fact that without the Lord and without His guidance, we're very helpless. Without Him, The Bible says we can do nothing. And I believe that's true. And so I want you to think tonight about this proverb, and this is one of my monuments. Last night, when Brother Spicer preached, the message that he brought forth, when I sat and listened to that, as far as I'm concerned, for those that may be confused about where they stand with the Lord, I just don't see how that they could have been given any better formula than what was presented in the message last night. As Brother Spicer spoke about those tokens of the covenant that God has made with us and those monuments that are laid up in our lives at times where we know that the Lord was blessing us. I mean, the instruction was wonderful. And I believe that it came down from heaven. But listen, if you are in that condition, you're never going to find peace until you trust the Lord to show you. Until you go to Him and trust Him with all of your heart. You see, you can't just decide, if you have allowed the devil to confuse you in that way, you're not going to be able to decide, well, okay, I'm just going to go back to one of those times and I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to set my mind to figure this out and I'm going to figure out where I stand with God, and I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work. You're going to have to trust in the Lord to settle your heart. It has been spoken about this week several different times. Brother Spicer and myself have both made mention of this. And I certainly hope that nobody has misunderstood this. But there have been several things said about people coming to the mourner's bench. And I know that I'm not, and I'm confident that Brother Spicer feels the same. We're not trying to discourage anybody from using the mourner's bench. We don't want to discourage that in any way. But I want to say this again, that whether you come up here and kneel, or whether you may talk to the Lord sitting in your seat, or whatever that it might be, whatever your circumstances might be, that you're never going to find salvation until you trust the Lord with all of your heart. If you try to figure it out intellectually, you won't get there. I know that it's been my experience in my life that when I have been able to trust the Lord with all of my heart, regardless of what was bothering me, regardless of what the situation was, regardless of how much turmoil my soul may have been in, when I have been willing and able to just go and trust the Lord with all of my heart to lay aside my own thoughts and acknowledge the Lord, He's always been able to settle my soul and give me peace. Brother Spicer labored hard in the message to try to exhort you to just empty the things from your heart and from your mind that you have put there. Things that you may have preconceived, notions that you may have about what things will be like, about what you may experience exactly when the Lord intervenes. And he exhorted diligently for you to just not trust in your own thoughts, not lean to your own understanding, to let those things go and acknowledge God and let Him be the guide. And let God show you what He wants to show you. But you'll have to trust Him. I made mention of this, these scriptures here being one of those monuments to me, and I want to tell you what I mean by that. I told the church here last night that I never doubted, not for a moment. I mean, I knew what had happened. I never doubted when the Lord called me to preach. I knew that God had called me to preach. But what I didn't say was that I wasn't immediately willing to do it. I wish that I would have been, but I confess to you that I wasn't willing immediately to do what I knew the Lord had called me to do. And the longer that I fought it, the more troubled I became, and the more confused I became about things. And I'll tell you what, you give the devil an inch and he'll become a ruler. And so I was really perplexed. I mean, spiritually perplexed and troubled. And the problem that I was having was that I just didn't know how I could possibly do what the Lord had called me to do. In my ignorance, what I wasn't realizing was that when he called me to preach, he never expected me to do it alone. But there was a time when I was alone one day at my house, and I began to read my Bible, and I began to read this proverb, and I got my answer. I mean, the Lord really spoke to me from these verses, and I got my answer when I read these words: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. And when I read that, the Lord spoke to me loud and clear and said, that's how you will do it. You'll trust in me. You won't trust in yourself. You won't trust in your own mind or in your own understanding. Acknowledge me, and I will direct your ministry, and I'll go with you and give you what you need. I want to tell you something, friends. Whatever it is that you need tonight, the answer, I believe, lies right there in those instructions. Whatever it is that you need tonight, trust in the Lord with all of your heart for it. I've had, on occasion, and perhaps many of you have experienced this, I've had on occasion when I felt like that the Lord would have me to speak to someone, I've been told, well, I just can't seem to figure it out. You know, I just can't seem to get it. I just can't seem to comprehend it. But we're not told to trust in the Lord with all of our carnal mind. The carnal mind of man is enmity against God. It's not subject to his laws, and neither can it be. So we need to trust him with all of our heart. Paul wrote in the 10th chapter of Romans, and we find where he said that it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And it is. This goes far deeper than our intellect. It goes far deeper than our mind. It's not something that we figure out. Paul said in his sermon there at Mars Hill, he told us that the way that people find God is that they feel after him. And they do it from the depths of their soul. The things that you have heard, and I've already said that we're not preaching anything new? You know, I can't tell you tonight, and I'm not going to try to tell you tonight, what's going on in your soul. That's something that only God is able to see. That's an area where you and I, we don't work in people's hearts. God works in people's hearts. We do the things that the Lord has left us here to do. We preach the gospel the way that the Lord has left us here to do that. But I can't tell you tonight what's happening in your heart. I'm not going to tell you tonight that you're going to have to be more troubled than what you are, because I don't know how much trouble that you're in. I'm afraid sometimes that we still, as the people of God, that we try to judge spiritual things based upon what we see, and it can't be done. I remember a few years back when I was pastoring at Pleasant Valley Missionary Baptist Church there in Illinois, and Brother Moran had come there that year and helped us in a revival meeting. And we had two young people that were saved during the meeting, and they came up and they bowed at the mourner's bench and they sought the Lord and they were saved. And on Sunday morning of the meeting, we opened the doors of the church and they came up, both of them came up to unite with the church, and there was a third girl, a 10-year-old girl that came up. And listen, nobody had ever seen or witnessed anything physical at all from this girl. Nobody had ever seen her on the mourner's bench. Nobody had ever seen her bowed at her seat. Nobody had ever heard her say anything about praying by her bed at night or any of that. Nobody had seen anything from her. And when she came up to join the church, her mother was so concerned. She was afraid that perhaps she had misunderstood something. And so while we were still singing, she took her to the back of the sanctuary. And she was just back there for a minute. And I saw the young girl headed back up. And her mother looked at me and went. And she came back up. And so I asked her to give the church her testimony. And she gave us a day, an evening, and she pointed to the pew and she said, I was sitting right there in that pew and I was calling on the name of the Lord and the Lord saved my soul and I want to join the church. I can't tell what's going on in people's hearts. I can't tell you, I can't look tonight and say, well, listen, you're not going to get saved unless you get more concerned than what you are. I don't know how concerned that you are in your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's what God told Samuel when Samuel was judging Eliab because of his countenance there. The eldest brother of David, when Samuel went there to the house of Jesse, under the direction of God to anoint the king that God had chosen, he saw the countenance of Eliab and he thought, surely this is the one that God has chosen. But he wasn't. God had chosen David. And he told Samuel, he said, don't look on his countenance, because he said, man doesn't see the way the Lord sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And God's the only one tonight that can see your heart. He's the only one tonight that knows, and it's between you and the Lord, what is going on in your heart. I have no way of knowing how condemned you feel or anything else. But I can say this, and I can say this with all the authority of the Word of God, that whatever that it is, until you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, you're not going to find peace with God about it. And I do believe that the things that we conceive in our own minds can be an awful hindrance when we're trying to seek the Lord. There have been a lot of things in my life that I have prayed about. There have been a lot of things that I needed help with. I needed some guidance. I needed direction. And I knew that God was able to give it. And there have been a lot of situations in my life when I have gone to the Lord seeking for Him to lead me and guide me. And when the Lord, answered and laid things out before me, it wasn't at all the way that I thought that it would be. I'm sure that many of you have experienced that. God answers in His way. And so when we're leaning to our own understanding, when we've got these things, that we have preconceived and these notions, they absolutely can get in the way. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is very simple. Just let the Lord have His way with you, because salvation is of the Lord. It's not in my hands to save you. It's not in your hands to save yourself. It's not in our own power to save ourselves. Listen, the very best thing that a sinner can do is just give it up to the Lord. Just give yourself up to the Lord. You must be born again. If you are going to see heaven and escape the eternal damnations of hell, it is absolutely imperative that you are born again by the Spirit of God. And I want you to know something, friend, tonight. That you cannot be almost saved. You cannot be halfway saved. You're either saved or you're not saved. It's just like, and I believe this was mentioned perhaps by Brother Spicer the other night when Paul spoke to Agrippa. And Agrippa said, Paul, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would not that you were almost, but that you were both almost and altogether. Listen, when Agrippa was almost persuaded, he was still all of the way lost. And it doesn't make any difference what that you may have done thus far if you have done something that you've just done by yourself. No matter what that it is, no matter how hard that you may feel that you have tried, if you haven't been saved, you're just as lost tonight as you have ever been. You don't get a little bit here and a little bit there until it finally comes together. You get saved when you come to the Lord and trust Him with all of your heart. With all three of my children, I can look on their birth certificates, and on every one of their birth certificates, the physician put down a time that they were born. 109, 323, 454. He put down the time of the day that they were born. And If I showed you those birth certificates, you wouldn't find anywhere on them where the doctor put down, Nicholas Lee Miller was born at 1:09 in the afternoon, but he was halfway born back at 12:30. It's not on there. He was born at 1:09 in the afternoon. Listen, you're either saved or you're not saved. You've been born again by the Spirit of God or you're lost. You're lost. You're not partway there. You're not there at all if you haven't been saved. And you're not going to get there until you trust the Lord with all your heart. If you're leaning on yourself, on your own understanding, if you're dependent upon somebody else, if you think, well, I know so-and-so, boy, they're a powerful prayer warrior. I know sooner or later they're gonna say that magic prayer that's gonna help me. If you're thinking, well, I know that somewhere, you know, sometime, you know, some preacher is going to bring that magic sermon that's going to have the answer in it. Listen, if you are relying upon anybody or anything else to be born again, it's not going to happen if you don't trust the Lord and Him alone with all of your heart. And not lean to anything else. Until you do that, you won't be saved. It's plain to me in the Scriptures that everybody that has been saved has done that very thing. It's apparent to me from the testimonies that I hear among the people that I live among, people that have truly been saved, that's exactly what they did. They trusted the Lord. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I want you to know something. That word "believeth" there doesn't mean what many of the religions have made it out to mean today. It doesn't mean to just believe that Christ exists. It doesn't mean to just believe that Jesus died at Calvary and that He rose from the dead and then accept Him and everything will be all right. It doesn't mean to just have some kind of carnal, mental, intellectual belief of God, because the Bible teaches me that the devils believe there's one God and they tremble. They're not saved though, are they? But that word there, "believeth," in the original language in which it was written, what Jesus said was, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever relies on, trust in, and entrust their spiritual well-being to Christ will be saved." That's what it means. When you entrust your immortal soul to the Lord, then and only then can you be saved. Do you have to have that belief of the mind? You sure do. But that's only the beginning of it. "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Friends, listen, you've got to believe that He exists. You've got to believe the things that He did in order for you to be saved. You've got to go to Him diligently seeking Him and trusting Him with all of your heart to save your soul. That's what the Scriptures teach. And until you do, you'll remain lost. No matter what, no matter how many times that you bow upon your knees, regardless of anything that you do, until you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you won't get the blessing. But isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God invites you to do that very thing? Come to me. Come to me. God invites you. He woos you and draws you by the Holy Spirit. Come to me and trust me, and God will help you to do that. He'll help you to do that. But if you've got it in your mind, in your heart, that God won't save you, as long as you feel that way, He won't. I mean, I've had people tell me, I just don't believe God will save me because of something I did or, you know, some way I lived or something like that. I just don't believe He'll save me. Listen, as long as you believe He won't, He won't. He won't. I want us to have a song. Paul said, and I kept trying to get to this. Paul said in his writing to 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth, nor he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. There's nobody that can give it but God. And so you're going to have to trust Him with all of your heart if you're ever going to have it." Let the congregation stand and let's sing.
185.